Support for the Star Wars Stuff podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Yeah, that rhymes. All right. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 5 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code STUFFPOD at manscaped.com. All right, guys. Sometimes you got to do some maintenance. You got to do some trimming, and either you hurt yourself or you don't do a good job, and it's not a good feeling, all right? But Manscaped is here to help you, okay? The Performance Package 4.0 by Manscaped has arrived, and oh man, is it a game changer. Inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies. And the travel bag is in there. I almost threw mine away. I picked up the box and I was like, it's a little bit heavier with nothing in there. And I looked and there's a really, really great bag in there to hold all your stuff. Okay, first off, the Lawnmower 4.0. This trimmer is the future of grooming and, dare I say, the greatest ball trimmer ever. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just say that. I'm blown away by the performance and the craftsmanship of this trimmer. The fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. That is very important. The Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof and also has a 4000K LED spotlight you need for more precise shave. All right, because this trimmer is waterproof, you can say goodbye to the mess of the bathroom floor. Big plus. All right, the Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer. That is kind of weird to say, but yes, it does include that, and that is really what I use it for, because I do have a lot of hair, so trimming my nose hairs and my ear is something I have to do every day, and I'm using this every day for that, and it's awesome. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps reduce nicks, snags, tugs, and those delicate nose holes. So yeah, like I said, I use it every day, and I'm not even worried about that it's going to hurt me or anything. The Crop Preserver below the waist deodorant and Crop Reviver below the waist toner will change the way you approach your daily hygiene routine. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to the Performance Package 4.0, like I said, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. It's time to take care of yourself, so go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code STUFFPOD. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code STUFFPOD at manscaped.com. All right, that's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code STUFFPOD. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. All right, back to the Star Wars Stuff podcast.
My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth on the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff podcast, the force is strong with you all. And remember, Sith.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff podcast. Wishing everybody all the best, and may the Force be with you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Star Wars Stuff podcast. My name is David.
I'm Colin.
And I'm James.
And this is where we talk all things Star Wars. And this is where we also survive hurricanes. And
Yeah. How you doing,
Colin,
there?
You want to talk about your experience?
So we didn't do Wednesday's podcast, for, you know, known reasons, and it, honestly, we were very lucky. I know Josh's area flooded, didn't really hear from Mason. I know he's alive, but, and then there's Matt, and he was also hunkered down as well. Because where we are in Florida, we're kind of like right in the middle of the state. So the storm kind of like breezed past us. There are some areas here that definitely got flooding. Again, we're very lucky and blessed and thankful that we didn't get too much damage. We did get some ceiling, some water damage on our ceiling from the apartment above, but there was no leakage or anything. I was very glad that we got to move my wife's car, because the parking spot that she was in, it was right underneath the tree, and then we moved it. And then the very next day I looked and there were just branches and everything right in that spot. So I'm very glad that we moved it. But yeah. Yeah. Everything's fine. We survived. But we did watch the new episode of Andor with power. We didn't lose power. We didn't lose Wi-Fi or anything during those 2 days of craziness. So very, very lucky. But yeah.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I know a lot of people, unfortunately, got flooded and lost valuables. And I'm not sure if there was an exact like death toll or anything. Did people lost their lives, right? No?
I do not know.
I know like the Fort Myers area got like extremely flooded. Like the water was like 7 foot.
Fort Myers got hit pretty hard. Anytime a tragedy happens, it sucks because it's something that we can't control. And my thoughts and prayers go out to the families that were affected. Late to the party, your friend just barely got her power and turned back on today. Yeah. There are people that are still dealing with some with power outages, flooding still. It was really crazy because of the like next day after the storm, like you walk outside, it was a clear blue sky, like nothing like happened. It was nuts. Because of a couple of hours before that, you like looked outside and a tree was like looking like it was a hand and it was like waving to you through the window. So it's a very crazy thing to jump from that to just a very calm setting. So, again, my thoughts and prayers go out to everyone that was affected by the hurricane. Yeah.
Well, awesome. Yeah. I also found out that one of our frequent guest hosts, Kyle Wagner, he was good. Also Craig, who also lives in that area, mm-hmm. His family's doing good. So, yeah, we're just happy that no one directly got affected. And yeah, if anything happened, I mean, yeah, like Colin said, like thoughts and prayers go out to you guys, and I hope you make it through this. And Andor episode 4 dropped, and what did you guys think of the change up? I was kind of thinking that we were going to get something more specific, like to Mon Mothma base. And we didn't get as much as Mon Mothma as in like Senate. I see your face there, Colin. So I thought we're going to get more Senate chamber, more on Coruscant, but we did get Coruscant, which I was totally happy for. So what did you guys think about episode 4?
I'm sorry. I'll let you go, Colin.
No.
Oh, me? Oh, okay. I am liking the way the story is being told, because I'm also looking at it as just a regular show, not as a Star Wars show. The first three episodes have already established this isn't a Star Wars typical show. And so for me, when they introduce Mon Mothma and you just hear a little bit, you don't get everything, because that's not where the story is right now. We're going to find out later on what she's up to. And I like the fact that they're kind of alluding to it. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, you're going to be like, well, what is she talking about? What do you mean? Like, what are they discussing and everything? And I think it's really cool the way they're doing that. They're not just going like her. They could have easily had her go into that shop and then been like, you don't realize what I'm doing for the rebellion right now and blah, blah, blah. No, they never mentioned it at all. And I was like, I like this. I like that they're treating it as just a regular show and a regular story. And they're going to unfold everything as it goes. And I think it's awesome. I think it's really, really good how they're doing it. And I loved this episode.
So it was really funny because of this episode definitely felt disconnected from the first three, because you definitely had that Star Wars vibe. You like, of the first couple of shots of just, you know, happening were, you know, of going through hyperspace and then there are kind of foreshadowing of what's going to happen to Cassian in the future, where he gives his life for the rebellion and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, cool. And then you end up going to Coruscant. You're like, oh my gosh, this is sick. This is awesome. And then you see more of the Empire. You see a couple of TIE fighters. Like, all of that to me was just like, all right, Star Wars, awesome. Those first three episodes were just like something out of Cyberpunk, out of Blade Runner. It definitely, you know, is a Star Wars show, but you can definitely tell that that the person that wrote it was not a big Star Wars fan. But then you watch this episode, and you just have that whole room full of Easter eggs, and then you just question everything that was reported for the show based off of that one scene. Because I kind of going ahead of ourselves, but you end up seeing Starkiller's armor from Force Unleashed, and it's like, I never thought I would see that on screen. And we were told that there weren't going to be that big Star Wars Easter eggs or anything like that. It wasn't to give fans a lot of fan service in the show. So just seeing that was just like threw me off guard. I was like, oh my gosh, it's Star Wars. So it's, I got a feeling that for the rest of the show, it's going to be going back and forth. But for the next episode, I think we will focus on more of the stuff happening in the Senate. And then it will be that and then the heist going on as well. And I think we'll be going back and forth. And I think in the next episode, we will see a direct connection to Palpatine, and we'll learn more about what's happening during this time period and what kind of happened to the Senate after Revenge of the Sith, because it's not talked about that much. Like, I mean, in Rogue One and Rebels, it was like, you know, here's the Senate, you know, they're there, but they really have no power. The person that has real power is the Emperor. And I think we'll see that happening through the Andor series, and that will lead up to the events of Rogue One. So I'm very, very excited to see where the show's going to go. But this episode was awesome. I loved it. Loved all the Easter eggs. I loved the scene of where Luthen just walked in the room, put on a wig, and was like, "All right, like I'm this new character." And I'm not sure if you guys noticed, but the part where he puts on the wig, like in one scene it looks like, you know, like a fake wig, but then in the next scene it looks like hair. Like there's like there is like a direct like connection to the head where it doesn't look like a wig, like it looks directly like hair. And it's like, oh, so is that the kind of technology cosmetology that they have in the Star Wars universe where like, oh, I'm gonna Star put Wars on a wig, wig
technology
Star Wars I don't wig. Know
I never it's, thought I would hear. That's pretty great though.
Yeah,
I didn't catch that. And some mob rules. Sorry, I don't know why it took me forever to say that. I'm hyped for a dinner party episode. Original trilogy would never, LOL. That's true. We almost got a dinner party in Empire Strikes Back, but they cut away, which is really unfortunate. But you know, when Darth Vader's there at the table, I would love to see that scene.
Oh man, and Sly Moore is going to be a guest.
I know. That is the direct connection to the Emperor, because of her character was their character knew about Palpatine's, like, you know, his drive and what he wanted to do and become the Emperor and everything. So seeing them there at the table is going to be very, very interesting. It's because very, we never really heard her heard them speak on screen at all. So,
and just for those who don't know who she is, can you tell us who that person is?
Okay, so in the best way to describe her is in the prequels, you saw that Palpatine was right there. To the left was David, James, someone help me out, was the blue guy, not Max Rebo.
the other blue guy at Star Wars.
Yeah, but the other tall blue guy that had the horns going out of his head. And then to the other side was Sly Moore. She's bald. She has like white eyes.
Okay, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, she was in the yeah.
And I don't think it's confirmed yet if the original actress is coming back, but that played her in the sequels. But whoa. We'll see. Yep, yep, that's her.
Should have given me a warning, man.
So yeah, if you're watching this on YouTube, yeah, you can see her on screen right now. Yeah. So yeah, that's Sly Moore. And yeah, the guy that you're referring to, Colin, it's blue with the horns. That's Mos Amita. And he was actually referenced as well, but he was given another, like he was mentioned by his title name. So he was his title, then they mentioned Sly Moore. I believe that was Mon Mothma's husband.
Could you imagine of just being at that dinner table and being like, oh, we actually have a surprise guest, and then Palpatine just walks in and he's like, hello, I am I am here for the blue shrimp.
And it's just I just want what's her name there with those same eyes, just looking at everybody at the table while they're eating, just like just looking back and forth.
It's going to be very interesting because we don't know what happened to some of these characters until now, and I think I think we'll definitely see that explained because we don't see Slime more. We don't see Mess. How do you say his name?
Maz Amida, right?
Yeah,
there you go. I always heard Maz Amida.
Yeah.
Maz Amida and Slime Moore, we don't see them in the original trilogy. I feel like we would have saw them in Return of the Jedi. So it's like, oh, okay. So what happened to them? And I think we'll kind of see their journey too. I'm excited to see more. I mean, it's kind of funny to say, but I'm excited to see the politics kind of addressed during this time, time period, which is really funny because a lot of people didn't like that they had politics in the prequels.
Star Wars,
no way. Yeah.
Why would they do that?
But it's very interesting because it's not real. So
yeah.
So it's
No, that's a good point. I it's weird to say, but yeah, this dinner is gonna be super entertaining. I think it's gonna be really, really well done. The conversations they're gonna have are all gonna be like, what? I think this is going to be really great this next episode. So let's kind of talk about these Easter eggs because we got a ton of them in Luthen's.
James, this is Andor. We don't get Easter eggs and
that was my point. That's where I was going to go.
No fan service.
Not at all.
Fan service. So like,
what happened?
I think they did it the right way. I think they did it the right way in that they weren't like
they lowered our expectations.
Not even that. It's just like they show it, but they're not even gonna address it. It's just like we're just gonna keep going. Like it's there. If you see it, that's awesome. If not, don't worry about it. We're just gonna keep going. So because you think what'd you say?
I just don't think you could honestly miss the Easter eggs.
But they're not gonna draw attention to it. Like the framing of it is okay. We're gonna put them here, and then you can see that back there. But what I love about it is that they're not gonna mention Starkiller like in the show. They're not gonna mention the Wookiee battle armor or the Gungan, or that for instance. I mean that one they might actually mention.
That was actually very interesting. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. If you go back to the stones, David. Okay, there you go. All right. So with these stones, this is also very interesting because during this time, we thought that the temple on Lothal that happened during the timeline of the Rebels near the end of the final season, right? Mm-hmm. But that hasn't happened yet during the Andor timeline, so maybe this is a different temple, and maybe this is what kind of leads them to the temple on Lothal.
This is probably what makes Palpatine interested in the temple, anyways. Like this right here is this is gonna come in hand. This is gonna come into play later on with Palpatine and why he wants Ezra to open the door and everything.
Yeah.
So I want to just picture this in my head. So Tony Gilroy is writing the Star Wars show, and he's killing it. It's amazing. Do you think in the span of those few years, he was like, all right, show me everything. I want to watch everything. And he just just watched all Star Wars. Do you think he did that? And then now he's like, okay, I can have some fun. And then he's going to start to throw stuff in, but he's not doing it to be like, ooh, look at this. It's just like, it's there. Like it's all like he's putting it in there. Or do you think this is somebody in the production designing office who was like, we can
put stuff in here. I think maybe Dave Filoni walked on set one day and then maybe he talked to Doug Chang and they were like, all right, how about we do, something like this? How about we pull this from here? Because he specifically said that like there wasn't going to be fan service or like any of that stuff. He was coming off and saying like, I'm not a Star Wars fan. So me going into this was like, oh, okay, it's going to be Star Wars, but it's not going to be Star Wars. And that's what I got in the first three episodes. So I was like, all right, cool. But then you watch this episode and you're like, this is all out of left field because you are contradicting of what you said earlier, because I'm seeing stuff that I never thought I would ever see. I'm very excited, but you said that we wouldn't get this. So now I'm very interested in what the rest of the show is going to be.
What you got, David?
I'm kind of thinking that Tony Gilroy maybe had a baseline of Star Wars lore and understanding, and then he wrote his scripts and he crafted the story, and then he turned it into the story group, and Pablo and everyone there looked it over and said, well, we can put this in there, that in there, and this just kind of like filled in the blank spaces where you could actually put some of these really cool Easter eggs in. And I got to hand it to him. This was a pretty like cool, like treasure trove and like a huge fan of Easter eggs delight. I mean, looking at this thing, yeah. I knew as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to talk like 40 minutes about this one room because there's so much stuff here. So if you're watching us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, you can see that number one Easter egg is, of course, the Sith armor that Starkiller wears in the video games. You can see the Wookiee helmet that we all see in Revenge of the Sith on Kashyyyk. That's number two. Number three, I'm not so sure that that's Jango Fett's armor, but it is.
I was thinking that too.
Mandalorian armor.
Yeah.
And four is that kind of like family, kind of hereditary heirloom for Twi'leks that we've seen in Rebels, I believe. Where once a Twi'lek actually has a family, each generation puts a piece and adds a piece on. I forgot what the specific name was. And number five, what exactly was that? I don't remember anymore.
That is the Horn of Gondor from Lord of the Rings. I'm just kidding. That might be a Wookiee horn, perhaps, but I wanted to go back to the Starkiller armor real quick. I won't talk that long about it, but a lot of people, especially the other pages, are I'm not going to say who, but they are definitely clickbaiting people saying that Starkiller is canon. That is not true. This is just and here's a reason why that's not true is because if Starkiller was his like. In the game, have you guys played the game?
Yes. Only played the first one. I didn't play I didn't play the second one.
Okay, so do you remember how OP he was? Like he was his character was created to be this very overpowered force wielder. And if he's canon, then that's gonna contradict a lot of stuff, but including a story, because of his story. Is the birth of the rebellion. And I think maybe that's why they added this Easter egg in here, because the show is about the birth of the rebellion as well. And in that story, he saves Princess Leia. He ends up going to Kashyyyk. There's actually a lot of Easter eggs like Kashyyyk and everything pointing towards Force Unleashed, because that game was remarkable. It was fantastic before it was canon. And there's also somebody also deciphered some Arabish that's right next to it's right next to his armor or like somewhere around it, but it's like on this kind of broken out brick that has Arabish on it, and it says Ram Koda on it, which was the Jedi that trained Starkiller in the game. So it's I do not think I don't like that people are saying that he's canon, because his story will contradict a lot of things in now canon, because that story just would not make sense at all. And
yeah, if Starkiller is canon, Indiana Jones is canon.
Right. Yeah. Because if you've got the golden idol, didn't we also see the Indiana Jones whip like in Carbonite as well?
And yeah, the whip is there.
We also saw the we also saw this Kara Stones from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom,
and there's Plo Koon's his face mask, which is
now. Do we know if that's actually Plo Koon's?
No, it's probably, or we don't.
Right. But there's a lot of people saying it's Plo Koon's, though. And it's just like, you guys.
It could be. I mean, theoretically. But I mean, there's other species of him. So.
I know I'm fine with that. But people that are coming out and saying, like, oh, like, Starkiller is canon. That is Plo Koon's mask. It's just dating back to when we saw that first episode of Mandalorian Season 2. Of where Cobb Vanth is coming out on his speeder, and everyone's like, "That's Anakin's pod racer engine." It's like, no, it's not.
Just because it looks like it doesn't mean that it is.
Right,
like,
right.
It walks like a duck, talks like a duck.
It's a mongoose. No,
it's truth serum. So one thing I liked about this episode was whenever Andor is hiking through the mountains of Scotland, which I believe that's where they filmed it, right? Scotland. I mean, I don't know where they filmed it, but it looks amazing wherever they, because that's location. But whenever you see the TIE fighters for the first time, I thought that was really well done, because you hear it and then you see it, and it's just like this. It kind of makes you like nervous, and I was like, that's so cool how they did it. A good reveal.
That shot also reminds me of the planet Bogana from Jedi Fallen Order. It's either that planet or planet Zepho, but I just remember of being in the mountains and that, and they would definitely have TIE fighters fly by and stuff. So that shot definitely reminded me of that from the game.
And then now we are getting the Empire is going to start to get in on Andor. Like I said, that the one guy, the security guy, his choice to pursue this is now getting the Empire involved in Andor's dealings. And all the Empire stuff, all of them, I thought this was really great. And I'm watching it kind of thinking, if they did a whole episode like this, I would be perfectly fine, you know, with them in a room talking about things and discussing like what's happening in the galaxy and everything. I was like, oh, this is great stuff. It just feels good. It just feels really great and fresh. I love it.
This guy looks like a descendant of Peter Cushing here, kind of.
I thought you were going to say that.
Too. Yeah, because of the haircut.
The facial structure.
Yeah, the facial features, Looks very gaunt.
Okay, for Cyril's character, do you think that after everything that happened to him in the first three episodes, and just seeing him in this episode and he's in Coruscant, he kind of goes to the lower levels and sees his mom and everything. Do you think that he's going to join the Rebel Alliance? Do you think he kind of looks back at his choices and being like, okay, that kind of went far. I didn't like how the Empire handled that. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to join the Rebel Alliance. Or do you think we're not at that point yet and we'll see something else that will make him change?
I mean, yeah, part of me thinks yes, like what you said, Colin, like he will join the rebellion, and then part of me thinks he's going to come back with vengeance. Like he's going to come back even more angrier, and he's going to be more determined to bring down Andor, and he's going to be a great adversary to him. I mean, that's kind of where my mind goes. But then also looking at that moment in episode 3 when he got tricked, just that realization on him, and he's just devastated. I was like, that is really, really great. Hold on, go back. Were those
one, two, three, four, five. Yeah.
Anyway.
So actual numbers are canon now in the Star Wars universe that aren't Arabesh. Well, there you go.
But one thing that made me laugh was what?
I read a long time ago, actually, that English and Arabic numbers are actually canon. I mean, they can be used. No. I mean, Arabic and English can also coexist, so it's not anything that's out of the ordinary. So it's not like a big mistake or anything.
I didn't think it was a mistake.
I love that he sees his mother. She slaps him in the face and gives him a hug. And they just leave his stuff out there in the hallway. You know what I mean? He puts his bags down and he just walks in.
So his mom is actually the second Harry Potter actor that is in this show. She was the kind of like the neighbor guardian of Harry Potter.
Yeah, Mrs. Fig.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Order of the Phoenix.
Yep.
Yeah, that's funny. But yeah, we haven't seen the last of him at all. And I think one or two things is going to happen. Either he's going to join the rebellion, or he's going to be really, really pissed off at the rebellion. So I don't know. David, what's your thought? What do you think he's going to go going forward?
I actually didn't think that he would join the rebellion. I think he would just maybe kind of chill out at home with his mom and then come back, maybe even more kind of forthright and just maybe try and scale the ladder of the empire. I mean, it's right now he's like kind of on the outside looking in. Maybe he reapplies. Maybe Deidre sees something that catches her eye on his history or resume or whatever, and he's brought back into the fold. And I remember you were telling me that he was maybe done for the series.
Well, yeah, because IMDb only had him for 3 episodes, and then I was like, wait, no, it's not. And then I looked at other people, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, it doesn't. Yeah, and you're right, it doesn't make sense, because anybody can add to IMDb and everything like that. But I just find it really great that when he sees the explosion, when he sees that he got tricked, like his whole way of thinking, his whole life is changed right there, and he's just distraught. And I thought they showed that very, very well. And what does he do? He goes home to mom. I mean, come on. What else does a guy got to do if his whole life just gets turned upside down? He's going to go home and see his mother. And all of these characters are interesting in this show. Like, everybody has something going on that makes me want to keep watching each week. And I think that's really great writing on a, like, it's not just for Star Wars, but like for any show like that. That's a good show. Whenever you have characters that all have something happening and you just want to keep checking in each week to see how their story is going to grow. And I love that it's in this show. And I think, I don't know, like I said, I'm excited to see where each of these characters is going to go. And we only have one more sleep, right? And then we're there.
Yep.
We're there. We're
episode every 5. Wednesday, 3 a.m.
Excited.
Eastern Standard Time, of course.
So yeah, and like I remember David last week was like, all right, so I got House of the Dragon on Sunday, and then I got Andor on Wednesday, She-Hulk on Thursday, and then Rings of Power on Friday. And
I was like, which that episode was amazing. I wish we could just talk about that, because that was incredible as well. Yeah,
Rings of Power like up their game.
I'll allow it. Let's go.
oh man, yeah, no, that show is on fire, man. Like, there are some
he's really gonna like, do oh. it. He's
doing well, it. He's like, doing like it. I mean, man,
just,
like,
just for a little bit, just for a little bit. Not the whole
thing. Okay, so every single Friday, I'm so glad that I have Fridays and Saturdays off, because if on Thursday, I wait until midnight until it comes out so I can watch it like right away. And I'm so glad I do, because every single time I'm not disappointed. The first couple episodes were slow, but honestly, like it's been killer. It's been fire. And the budget for that show has, you can definitely see it being used. and I'm very, that makes me excited for the Skeleton Crew, because that is going to be the second highest, show for its budget, ever, like in TV show history. So,
It's really weird that we're getting to that stage now where these television shows are getting feature film budgets.
I know, so, but that's what makes it great.
Even more than feature film budgets. Like, yeah. I mean, their TV is the way to do it now. Like, everyone's jumping on it. I mean, like I said, look at where we are now. Like, I haven't been in the movies in a very long time, because I have House of the Dragon, Andor, She-Hulk, and Rings of Power all coming out right now. And I'm good. I'm set. And it's just crazy to think that that's the way it all is now. And
it was the worst box office month in September.
Yes,
that's like the past like 17 years or something.
I wonder why that was. Yeah.
September and August are usually the slow like type seasons. And then you got February, like January and February, where they're kind of slow too. But it's
historically bad, though. That's what I'm
thinking. I trust me, I know. Trust me, I know. I'm excited for, you know, the upcoming year, for movies. Unfortunately, we're not getting a Star Wars movie until 2025, but we're probably going to find out.
Which gives the TV shows that budget now. Skeleton Crew can use some of that.
That's why. Yep. And okay, so should we shift gears to that weird news story that came out about?
Hold on, I got one more thing to say about that. I'm glad you brought that up, James, about having a not really having to stay home, but having that luxury of watching House of the Dragon, then you watch Andor, and then you watch She-Hulk, and then Rings of Power. So yeah, I mean, I'm a big football fan, so on Amazon I can watch Thursday Night Football, then lead into Rings of Power. And the thing about what Amazon does is they release it before they claim that it's available at midnight. Because, I mean, the football game ends, and then I just switch over and I just start watching the next episode.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's really cool. And then Sunday Night Football happens, and if that game's not so great, that show drops kind of in the middle of that game. So,
yeah, House of Dragons. For that. Yeah, House of the Dragon drops at 5 o'clock Pacific, which is pretty great. And and that last episode was pretty good. It's weird. It's weird that these TV shows are cinema quality shows. I mean, She-Hulk is not cinema quality, but it's very entertaining. I mean, I'm just saying it's still a highly entertaining show, and I'm still digging it. But the other three are like crazy, crazy quality of shows. Star Wars, Game of Thrones is what I want. We all wanted that. We all thought we're gonna give us that. And we all know how that went. But so let's shift gears a little bit. So a certain celebrity was asked about Star Wars this week. And this certain celebrity by the name of Christian Bale made a really funny it wasn't a joke, but he was just like, they're like, you know, who would you play in Star Wars? And he was like, I want to play the stormtrooper who hit his head in New Hope. He said that's always, it always made him laugh, and he goes, and it's so funny. And he goes, that's
not Jackson the Rabbit.
But then Pablo Hidalgo, was it today or was it yesterday where he tweeted?
Yeah, I think it's today.
He tweeted that he wants Christian Bale to play. There's Christian Bale. If you don't know him, I don't know. So who is this guy? I forgot his name. He's
Jackson the Space Rabbit.
He had a whole comic book series. They actually I think a couple of months back, maybe almost a year, they actually started selling that action figure like in Black Series form, and it came with the comic that he's from. But it's really funny because no one's talking about how Tom Hardy played a stormtrooper, but it never actually made it to the big screen. And
I thought it did. I thought he played one of the executioner troopers.
No. It was a whole deleted scene of Tom Hardy talking to Finn on the elevator, and it never made it.
We would have had the first butt slap in Star Wars if that scene had stayed in there. Because Tom Hardy's character slaps Finn in the behind to congratulate him.
That honestly would have changed my whole perspective of The Last Jedi right there. Like if that scene showed up, I would have been like, all right, great movie. No, I'm just kidding.
James Bond played. So Christian Bale, you know, and then he said though, he still has all his old action figures.
Yeah.
He is a huge Star Wars fan, which I don't know. It's one of those things you never hear. I don't know. I think every celebrity kind of is. I just don't want to admit it. And he finally let out, I'm a Star Wars fan. I've been one for a long time. And then he says, well, he goes, well, I know Kathy Kennedy. She was the producer on Empire of the Sun when he was like, what was he, like 11, 12 years old when he was in that movie? So he's known her for years and years and years. And so he was like, it's almost as if he was telling, I could just call her whenever I want, probably, and get a part in one of these movies. So here's the question. Would you want to see Christian Bale in a Star Wars project? David is shaking his head. No. Colin, what do you... Well, okay, why, David? Why? Don't say The Dark Knight Rises. It's been over 10 years since that. So he gets a little past there.
That's it. No, I'm just kidding. I think he would do... I think would actually Christian Bale would do an actually pretty good job, I think, maybe with, like, Grand Admiral Thrawn, someone like that.
Don't say that, bro, man. Now I'm seeing him with, like, the red eyes and... Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, I see that. I could see him definitely doing Thrawn, but it's just, I don't want anyone just to play Thrawn. I want the same actor that played him in Rebels. Like, that is my dream. And I think we will get that. We'll find out next year, most likely. But I really, really want that to happen. Here's the answer to your question by asking another question. Okay.
But before you go on, David, were you done there with Christian Bale? You said you had Bale fatigue the other day too.
Yeah, I mean, he's not like one of my most favorite actors, and I know he comes up a lot with the younger generation of, yeah, he's my favorite actor, yeah, he needs to be more stuff. And his response that he gave in that interview, it's kind of like, well, I mean, that's the response that pretty much every popular working actor is going to give. They all were Star Wars fans. That's what inspired them. They all have toys. I mean, you look at Chris Evans. He's a huge Star Wars fan. He said the same thing, too. He wants to be in a Star Wars something, a Star Wars film. But I think I like Chris Evans way more than I would like Christian Bale to be in Star Wars. So. Mm. Well, but I mean, yeah. if he plays someone like Thrawn, that'd be pretty cool, I guess. But you want to be a good guy.
I want him to be a good guy because he's a great actor, and he has, you know, it's just lately, not lately, it's just sometimes people just see him as the villain. And which I don't know. I mean, he did American Psycho, which it was weird. And then he just did Thor: Love and Thunder, where he was the villain.
Yeah, talk about that here.
Where he was the villain in Thor: Love and Thunder, and everybody's like, "Oh yeah, Christian Bale would be a great villain." It's like, what that was like his first villain comic book role. So I see him as a good guy. Like if he plays a supporting actor character, not a Han Solo esque, but a supporting character of the main character. I'm like, that would be a stacked cast. Yeah. American Psycho, but Imperial.
How? No, that doesn't. Okay.
What? What? You don't see him as a good guy?
Well, okay. So there are some. Okay. So there are some actors that can play a mix of villains and the heroes, right? Okay. Christian Bale, I see him as the anti-hero. I see him playing the darker, like, not the dark side characters, but of, like, the characters that really wear their darkness, like, on their shoulder. Like, they are just full out, like, not evil, like, but Darth just... Vader.
Like Batman.
Well, honestly, Batman is the best example, and I think that's why Christian Bale did such a great job as that character, because, you know, people look at heroes, you know, like, for example, Henry Cavill, Superman, Captain America, Chris Evans, like, I mean, those, like, characters really, I mean, those actors, to me, represent those characters. Now, when I look at Christian Bale, I see him playing these characters that have a dark past, but they're trying to do something right going towards the future. And that's honestly, you know, for example, for the new Thor movie, his character Gore just wanted to bring justice to hang on. Max Rebo biopic. Bale plays Max's controlling manager.
That'd be a hell of a movie. Written by Tony Gilroy.
Yeah. but for Gore the God Butcher's character, he was kind of misunderstood. To him, it was just like he lost his daughter and everything because he saw that the gods weren't acting.
Spoilers.
Well. At this point, the movie's on DVD, so spoilers, guys. But
DVD?
Yes! Throwback. You're welcome. look at James' face. But he wanted justice because the gods weren't, you know, doing what he thought the gods were supposed to be doing, and then he wanted to take down all the gods because his daughter died, and he didn't want that to happen to anyone else. Okay, so what does Batman do? He becomes Batman, so no child he becomes Batman, so then no child has to go through what Bruce Wayne did. And honestly, I see that in Christian Bale. Stop it. No, stop. No, but like it's
Alfred is me.
So I see Christian Bale playing those characters, of those type of characters. I can't see Chris Evans, you know, playing Grand Admiral Thrawn. I can't see,
he's not British or.
Well, it doesn't matter. I don't see him playing, you know, of the Luke Skywalker, Han Solo type character. I don't see him playing the supporting character. I see him as a character with a dark past, and I know that is kind of character. Actor stereotyping, I think, is the term for it. But but you know, for example, there's also Michael J. Fox. He never really, because he got Parkinson's and stuff later. But after Back to the Future, he really never did anything after that, because he was always known as Marty McFly. And they really, yeah, typecasting. There you go. That's the term. So I think
also the other big reason is his face is just too famous. He's too famous to just drop him in Star Wars. It would be kind of jarring, you know? I mean, yeah. Star Wars is really kind of a playground for unknowns or up-and-coming actors.
There are actors like Bill Burr that work, though, because I just got done
rewatching. He's not tremendously famous, though. Yeah.
I know, but of being the type of comedian that he is, it works so well in Star Wars. And the last episode that he was in The Mandalorian was like pure bliss. His character like fit perfectly in that. He definitely got his redemption. And you could definitely see the actor putting some of his real life perspective into the character. And I think that was like, you know, awesome. I think we need to put a poll up.
Who hates what? Star Wars more, Tony Gilroy or Bill Burr?
Bill Burr is gonna win. Bill Burr will win 100%
in a landslide.
Yes.
But it's funny because he did such a great job, though. Like he crushed his role. He did a fantastic job.
I mean, look at him
Gilroy effect. Yeah. I mean, you do great.
Hey, there you go. He's just, I don't really like Star Wars, but I'm just going to make a really great story and everything. But I think Gilroy is now a Star Wars fan. I think he's with us. Speaking of with us, okay, this is nothing to do with what we were just talking about. So I just started watching Yellowstone, and I'm only literally in the first episode.
I was going to start watching Yellowstone, James.
Really? What the heck? I just started it today, so we can talk about it.
All right, there's put it on Patreon. I'll do commentary.
There's a part where they're looking for cattle, and he goes, "What's that number?" And he goes, "It's 1138. He goes, "Okay, 113. And I was like, Taylor Sheridan, like, are either you're a Star Wars fan or you were just going like, I'm just going to think of a random. There's no way he thought of a random number. 1138 is super. And they even say it. They don't say 1138. They say 1138. And I was like, now there's a guy.
Yeah.
Who could write an incredible Star Wars story. I mean,
but too bad he's got like a billion projects.
I know he's and Tyga so busy.
But yeah, that goes back to what I was just saying earlier about all these people now that are like working actors and creators. They're all Star Wars fans. They all drop those type of Easter eggs in there. So
it was so funny. I was like, no way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to see what type of story Taylor Sheridan would come up with for Star Wars. I think that would just be
like, it's kind of ironic. I was watching a YouTube video on Taylor Sheridan. I learned his story. And he owns like a quarter of a million acres in Texas.
Nice.
Yeah.
And in case you don't know, he wrote the movie Sicario. He wrote Sicario 2. He also wrote Hell or High Water. And
he's written, nominated for an Academy Award for that. He didn't win, did he?
No.
Okay.
He should have. Yeah, he's one of the best screenwriters out there right now. And,
he's pretty much a real cowboy too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and Wind River. Yeah, he also did a movie called Wind River with.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Great movie. That's a guy who needs to be on Star Wars, but he needs to be on Star Wars whenever he's not thinking about a million other things like all these other people have been doing lately. Yeah. And it goes back to Taika and his Thor Love and Thunder.
Don't get me started.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy how Taika's stock has dropped So
severely.
Only if he had a project that would, you know, that was, you know, maybe not on the shelf anymore. That would probably help him get out of that rut.
I think they would have taken it away from him after how Love and Thunder did.
I even
heard on the set he was just like, he didn't take a lot of things serious while he was filming it. Like, he was just going and doing his own thing. And then I just found out, I know this is nothing about Star Wars, but I just found out the other day that, you know, Blade is being rewritten because nobody read the script until last week. Like, Kevin Feige had not read the script until just last week. And it was fund the movie and get everything going, and then they read the script? And it's kind of strange, because Kevin Feige's also like
crazy busy. Yeah,
it's just really strange. And so everyone's wondering, did Taika even read? Kevin Feige even read Thor: Love and Thunder?
Colin versus Taika, or Colin versus lottery system?
That's the poll that we should put up.
That's the poll. But no, what I was saying was, people are saying Kevin Feige didn't even read Thor: Love and Thunder. Like, he was just like, yeah, Taika's got it. And yeah, it wasn't that great, you know? So, I don't know. It's like you said, David, it's weird how much Taika's stock has, like, dropped, and to where a lot of people are like, don't do Star Wars. Don't, you know what I mean? Nobody wants him to do Star Wars anymore. And that's kind of sad, because he was the hottest thing there for a bit.
I kind of want some unknowns to tackle Star Wars.
Yeah.
Some people that have something to prove, some people that aren't going to just...
People who can focus 100% of their thoughts on Star Wars. Like, that's what we need. We need a director who can come on, and that's all they're doing is Star Wars right now. Because all of these other people who they're bringing on are so busy, are insanely busy. So yeah, we need somebody who can focus everything on Star Wars right now. And hey, who knows who it is? Maybe we'll see them in 2025.
Yep,
if we're all alive by then. I'm just kidding. All right, what's next on the agenda? What you got?
It's the birthday of Jonas, also known as
his birthday. Jeez, look how tall he is. He's not even wearing the shoes that...
No.
Wait, is that John?
Who?
Sorry. Do we know that guy?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Nope. I never met him.
Yeah. Never met him. Okay, I just thought that's who that was. So, yeah. How old is...
And neither has Jonas. Chris Myatt.
That was such a great joke. Night.
It was an inside joke.
I don't think I've ever laughed as hard in my entire life than that.
No, and something happened right after that. Who was it? It was Chris. I think it was Chris that just, like, he ripped a huge one, and then we all had run out of the room.
There was a woman in there too. Yeah. So yeah, Jonas, happy birthday! He turned 36 today. Very young guy, and he's
former basketball player from Penn State.
Yep, that is a tall guy though. I mean, he's... Jeez.
So yeah, I believe he's 6'11", and yeah. Peter Mayhew was 7'3", I believe.
Yeah, he will. Yeah, Peter Mayhew was taller than him, and Peter Mayhew was a monster. But yeah, so, and it's great that they got a young actor, and so he can just keep pumping out Chewbacca roles for a very, very long time. So that's good to know. So yeah, happy birthday to Jonas.
Yeah, and Jonas Suotamo does do the Comic-Con circuit a lot. He's been to South Texas, Dallas, Houston, all over the place. And that's who I want to be a part of Star Wars, someone that's going to do the Comic-Con and photo op, signature signing stuff, and talk to the fans. And he does podcasts too, I believe. So we'll probably try to get him on. Yeah, eventually. And yeah, hopefully he does come back in a film. Hopefully there's something Chewie-centric. Hopefully there's a Disney Plus show, something. But
can you imagine if they did a whole show about the that story there in Jedi Fallen Order where they're trying to get free the Wookiees and all that, like after that would be like the craziest movie ever.
There was also the story. I'm sorry. There was also the story in the Star Wars Battlefront 2 campaign of where after you get done on Takadana and then Han Solo is telling Iden, he's like, actually, we are going to these coordinates. And then it sounds like they're going to Kashyyyk to go and try the rest of the Wookiees as well. So I think there's a storyline there. I think they could definitely fit it into the timeline of the Mandalorian and everything, because that would be really interesting to see, because that's been talked about a lot, like of kind of bringing in the Star Wars, you know, Holy Trinity, which is Leia, Luke, and Han, and seeing them on screen, even though it would be deep fake for sure, it would still be very, very cool to see after all these years of all three of them together. And it's something that we never got in the sequels, which we all hoped that you would. But it would be very cool. And we know that Billy Dee Williams would be down because, you know, he comes back for games. He comes back for the Lego Star Wars specials. You know, he does that stuff all the time. So we know he would definitely be down for coming back as Lando, like even for just a deep fake.
Let me ask you this, Colin and James.
What you got to do?
Who is the Trinity of the prequel trilogy?
Obi-Wan, Padme, and Anakin. Now, some people would say, oh, because the Clone Wars, it's Ahsoka, Anakin, and Obi-Wan.
Okay, that was quick.
Yeah, what he said.
I think about it all the time. I'm sorry.
That's funny.
No. I'm sorry. It's Yaddle, Yero Poof, and the one guy that gets shot by Jango Fett in Attack of the Clones that gets...
Yeah, that one guy.
Yeah, he
a dinosaur Jedi.
He looks like a dinosaur. Yeah, he looks like a dinosaur.
That guy.
It's actually Kit Fisto. So moving on.
I saw this thing where they said that Kit Fisto actually saves Mace Windu's life during the Sidious attack. Because he gets in his way. He shoots his way in between.
It's like a human shield.
And that's when he gets stabbed.
Do you think that, I mean, honestly, I could see it happening. It would be wild. Samuel L. Jackson is getting up there, but he's been, you know, trying to get back into Star Wars. Do you think that, you know, that he survived and that he was the one that saved Grogu? And then I could see it happening. I don't know if I want that to happen. I think fans would be pretty excited to see him back as Mace Windu. But honestly, if they got him to come back for that, people would flip out. People would definitely flip out.
He gets electrocuted, and then I don't know.
Hey,
look at Darth Vader getting electrocuted, and then he dies. All right, you see his skeleton, then he dies. Luke Skywalker gets electrocuted. You don't see his skeleton, but he's just getting tortured. He's not getting murdered, okay?
Okay.
And then you see Mace Windu get electrocuted. You see his whole freaking skeleton, spine, ribs, skull. He's gone. He's dead.
Are you ready for this argument?
What is this argument?
Okay. So what makes a Force wielder very powerful than they would be if they weren't? The dark side, their anger, their frustration. At that point, you can definitely see in Mace Windu that his anger has taken over him. He was about to kill Palpatine.
Yeah, but not... then he's screaming in pain because his arm just got sliced off.
Right.
He's not angry anymore.
I don't know. I think anger, I think the dark side can do a lot in those situations. I mean, look at Darth Maul. He got cut in half, dude. He got cut in half. He fell all the way down. Who knows, thousands like of feet all the way to the ground, and somehow he survived. If someone can get cut in half, someone can definitely get their arm chopped off, electrocuted, and thrown out the window. And I think the anger.
That was waiting for that. So you're like, yeah, he got chopped in half and fell. Somebody could definitely get their arm chopped off, electrocuted, and then thrown out the window and fall like a
There's no log in Star Wars, man. Like, all that goes out the window. There
like
is
like Mace Windu did.
There is There is gravity in space. There's sound in space.
There is sound in space.
Everything. So it's just like all logic that you think would happen on our planet and our universe, not going to happen.
That would have solved so many things right there. Star Wars needs railings.
They and actually the Emperor... make that joke in season two of Mandalorian.
But no, the Emperor is a clone, though, in the Rise of Skywalker. He's not. Yes. That's not Emperor Palpatine. He's a
because he uses the midichlorians and he puts his soul into another body.
Yeah, yeah, that's a whole other thing.
Is that how it happened?
Yeah. That's how they did it. Star Wars needs railings. That's what they need. But no. Mace Windu, he's gone. Samuel L. Jackson could always come back as another something Mace Windu before he dies.
Can we save this recording to so like of and then when like the episode of Mace Windu comes back, then we can put this in the beginning of the episode of where James is just like, oh yeah, he's not coming back, and then like it goes to breaking news, Samuel L. Jackson has returned.
You know what? I've been saying this for a long time, and it still hasn't happened. So.
Because they're waiting for the right time. Just don't bring something in to bring it in. Make it make sense. If Mace Windu is the Jedi that saves Grogu, that would be a great, you know, story. Not just him popping up and be like, hey, I've been gone for all this time.
So he flies in the air. He lands God knows where. Gets a cab. Flies back to the Jedi Temple.
They would make it
all these
more sense than what I'm saying.
Maybe he landed in the cab. There you go. And then he goes to the Jedi Temple. There's kids dying, but he's like, I got to get this guy out of here. And he grabs Grogu and he just leaves.
And then, I could see him in the chaos, seeing people getting slaughtered. He like sees that it's too late for the other Jedi, and he's and he sees Grogu, you know, about to get killed by those clones in that flashback in Book of Boba Fett, and then all of a sudden the clones turn around and Mace Windu, you know, force pushes them, and maybe, you know, so he just ends up like, you know, just going full ballistic at that point. I think Mace Windu is trying to collect himself. I think he's still angry, conflicted, you know. Something that we learned from Boba Fett, you know, you change through these big life, you know, altering events. Getting your arm chopped off and getting thrown out a window, I would definitely be a different person than I was before. So I could definitely just see him being very upset and just kind of conflicted of being like,
he's just a little upset. It's fine.
I could just see him being just conflicted with like, oh my gosh, maybe Count Dooku was right. I can't believe that I just got my arm chopped off by the Chosen One and never trusted him. And this is all happening to me. And we just see him go full psycho on the clones. And then he sees Grogu. And then he's reminded of Yoda and the Jedi. And that kind of brings him back. He saves Grogu. He leaves the planet. And then we kind of see of where he was all those years.
Man, Colin's really thought about this, huh?
I have.
So yeah, while we're trying to figure out who Masamita was, he's actually in our background, right above Mace Windu, next to Grievous.
Speaking of
Mace, Windu. Oh, look! He's just right there, waiting. He's waiting his return,
and he's also right here.
But what if? What's his name from the guard that we just saw in Andor? What if he goes to the lower levels and goes to Dex's diner in the next episode, and he's just there by himself, all sad, drinking Jawa? Like, that would just be the funniest. It just cuts to him in the diner by himself, just drinking Jawa juice. And yeah, that's what I want to see in the next episode. But anyways, all right. So, what else? What else was that? Did we cover all the bases today? Or did we...
Tales of the Jedi is coming up this month.
Ooh, that's right. We're in October.
Yep. Very exciting stuff. The first three episodes will, you know, be Ahsoka's journey. And then you go into the next three episodes, which is about Count Dooku's journey from a Jedi to falling to the dark side, most likely. There's a couple of scenes in the trailer that show Ahsoka at Padme's funeral in Revenge of the Sith. That's it's very sad, and I think we're definitely going to get scenes from Ahsoka, from the movies that maybe we never thought that we would see, like just kind of see her perspective and just different events that are happening in the galaxy. I think we'll definitely get stuff from the book. I know for a while there during an Attack of the Clones, like after Clone Wars came out, they were trying to make the Jedi Patissa, one of the younglings, when Obi-Wan is going to Yoda and talking to him about like why Kamino isn't on the star map anymore or anything. There is a there's a girl that's the same species as Ahsoka, and they try to make her make it canon that was Ahsoka, but they realized that it wouldn't work in the timeline because she was way too young in that scene. But we could definitely see something, you know, lines of maybe her, maybe even meeting. Well, no, because I was going to say she like never met Grogu, because I could see them trying to tie in Grogu in some way, like in the temple somehow. I have no idea why, but I could just see them trying to do that, like to be like, oh, don't worry, he was there.
Because Grogu is money. And can you imagine seeing an animated Grogu? Like, that's how adorable he would look.
That's just way too.
Exactly. Yeah. That's Lucas.
Oh my God. Tells the Jedi Count Dooku's origin story, new perspectives of Ahsoka and Grogu. Grogu, just drop everything. Let's go. 30 seconds. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to finally see. That is correct. Yeah, I want to see Yaddle in action. I feel
I'm so excited.
Quinlan Vos would be a good character to follow for Tales of the Jedi season 2. That would be solid. Hopefully,
make it the anthology we all want. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully this Tales of the Jedi takes off and it does very, very well, because
I think they could have a lot
of fun with some of these characters. And I'm excited to see. And or we could see Shaak Ti's real face. Yeah, true. She dies like three times in Revenge of the Sith.
She gets killed by General Grievous in a deleted scene in Revenge of the Sith. She also gets killed by Anakin in the Jedi Temple, in a deleted scene there. And then Force Unleashed, she gets thrown into the Sarlacc pit.
She died another way by Grievous, wasn't it? Or there was like two ways in this ship. I could have sworn there was two different ways.
I believe there was only one way. She also, you know, died in Lego Star Wars, where she gets like, you know, cut in half and then she gets decapitated. And it was like, whoa,
kids on top of all this.
Yeah.
Man, yep. But like I said, I have high hopes for the Tales of the Jedi. I think it's going to be something really, really great for all of us to see.
I would love for them to maybe dive deeper into maybe Luke.
That would be good. That would be something.
And Mark Hamill is no stranger to, you know, voice acting. So it'd be really cool to see him, you know, come. I mean, he actually did voice Luke Skywalker again in
The Last Jedi.
No, not The Last Jedi. It was Forces of Destiny. It was those small cartoon shorts, and he actually did come back as Luke, because it showed us a different perspective of him training on Bagoa, and he was very scared of doing flips and stuff through the trees, and then you know Yoda kind of you know trains him a little more, and it's a different perspective, but that's canon.
That's Tales of the Jedi season 2 right there. Luke Skywalker, when he's young, we show a deleted scene of him on Dagobah. Yeah. We show a scene of him creating the green lightsaber, and then we show him training Ben Solo. Like everyone would watch that if they released Tales of the Jedi season 2, Luke Skywalker. I mean, everybody, that would just be the biggest thing ever.
I think they should do that for Obi-Wan as well, of seeing the young, young Obi-Wan, maybe being brought to the temple, and then one episode is him and Qui-Gon, with Satine running around, and then we kind of see like, you know, that love connection, and then maybe we see him during the events between Attack of the Clones and in the Clone Wars, and we kind of see him kind of train of him train and Anakin. Oh, actually, no, not between Attack of the Clones and the Clone Wars, but Phantom Menace. That 10-year gap of him kind of, you know, watching Anakin grow and just that, you know, yeah, and seeing him from Jedi Knight to Jedi Master.
That's season two right there of Tales of the Jedi. Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yep. That's the way to do it. Did you hear us, Lucasfilm? Yep. That's how you have to do it.
Yeah. They could do every major Jedi from the prequels too, and just
there's I mean,
like they have this Tales of the Jedi could be just the, like you said, the anthology we've always wanted. Just keep pumping these things out each year, and man, people would love this stuff. And hell, you can even do a Grogu episode. You know, we could even go and watch Grogu. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think they would do that. I think they're definitely going to save that for live action.
It's gonna be last.
I don't think they will. I mean, I know I did talk about Grogu, like, you know, of showing up, you know, potentially.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
that was more. That was more of like. Oh yeah, you know, if they do that, they do that. But I really think they'll save all that stuff for live action because, that's a huge investment right now. Is Grogu's story, and I think, you know, his story being told in live action is the best way to go. I don't think they'll ever touch Yoda's story. If they do, I'll be very, very surprised.
Would be huge.
Maybe even seeing him in the High Republic era. That would be really cool to see. Seeing him during, you know, the prequels, you know, era. Stuff that we've never seen. And then you go into his time on, of that 20-year gap. From Revenge of the Sith all the way, and just kind of him reflecting on everything, maybe talking to Qui-Gon Jinn and talking to Obi-Wan, like, of just like on the planet and just kind of reminiscing about the old days.
And I don't think anyone's talking about him being actually showing up in Acolyte. Yoda's totally around.
Yeah, he's totally around. Seeing Frank Oz show, you know, come back with him to do a puppet? Would you want to animate it?
It would have to be animated.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way.
They
could do a puppet, obviously, but everybody wants to see Yoda moving around. And it worked. It worked for the prequels. So I'm anxious to see how Yoda in today's technology will look. All the souls from the Force, but beware of the dark side. So certain are you. Is his mouth moving?
Yeah, look. He also blinks too.
Whoa, that's weird, man.
That's a pretty cool ornament.
A Hallmark ornament, by the way.
Yeah, I can tell. Hallmark.
It's like $100.
When you want to send the best, you know.
Hallmark.
All righty then. Was that it for the day, or do we?
I feel like James just doesn't want.
What else? I don't want
to. That's where it's to be.
Yeah, dude. Come on, man. Star Wars stuff.
Still pretty early in California. I'm just kidding. What you got?
I gotta throw that in there. So the packaging for all the new Black Series is no longer gonna have the plastic window in front. It's just gonna be a solid cardboard box. And I got pictures here if you're watching us on video. Here are the new Andor figures.
Interesting.
See, I don't like that because of the whole point of having the clear box was, you know, if you went to this, you know, Target, which sometimes Targets are always sold out because people are camping, you know, outside the door waiting to go in and like grab the action figures every morning and walk out. But the like great thing about having the clear, like, you know, kind of thing in the box where you could see the action figure is to choose like of which character has the most detail and then go from there. Because if you're going through the box and you just open it, it's like, oh, cool, great. But there was always the potential of finding another character, or the same action figure that had more, you know, detail. Because, for example, I have a Black Series Princess Leia from A New Hope, right? And her face is, you know, it's not as screen accurate as other ones I've seen. And I was like, but at the time when I went there and I got it, that was the only one they had left. And then you go and look at other ones. I'm like, that's very detailed. That's more detailed than mine. Wish I had that opportunity. You're taking the opportunity away without having that clear plastic on the box where you can like see inside. Man, I'm very like detailed with my descriptions today.
No, it's good. That's great. I'm personally, I'm fine with it. I mean, but the nostalgic in me is like the toy boxes are different now because for years they've always had that plastic cover and you can see what you're buying. I guess it's just the way of the future, just how it is now. Maybe it's a little eco-friendly as well, not to have that plastic in the front. But I think it's still pretty cool. I think it's a really cool looking box. And it's kind of weird though when you display that unopened, it's just gonna be a box instead of, you know, seeing into the box what normal people have. Like David just showed us, you know, if he hung those up on the wall, they would look really, really cool. But now you're just gonna have a box hanging up on your wall. It's like there's a toy in there, I promise. You know, like, I don't know. It's going to be interesting for the collectors and how they're gonna take this.
Yeah, I'm thinking of it. California might have something to do with the plastic, getting rid of the plastic. So
you're welcome.
Yeah, it's just it's just one of those things. Yeah. But
James is responsible.
Yeah, it was me.
Yeah, I did put the poll up, and we'll go Inception style here. So 87.5% think Bill Burr is less a fan than Tony Gilroy.
But it's so funny because that's really funny to me because of he brought that character to life in such a great way where it's not like I can tell that he's not a Star Wars fan. It was just like there was so real to his character, if it makes sense, like very relatable, especially the way the conversation that him and Mando had in season two of where he's like, you know, it doesn't matter if you're part of the New Republic, doesn't matter if you're part of the Empire, either way, you are part of a side that is trying to control the galaxy. Like, it doesn't matter. And it's like, you know, we've never seen that side of a character before. It's either good or bad. It's not like, you know, so seeing that side from a character was very interesting, but it was also really cool because it's very relatable, and I think that's why Bill Burr did such a great job in the role that he had.
Yeah. So there's still time to vote this poll. It's on Twitter. You got one day left, and you can find it at Stuff Pod on Twitter.
Yeah, let us know what your thoughts are on that one.
Also, we are doing a giveaway on Instagram for a chance to win a B2 Emo from the Andor series. So if you're interested in that, go on to Instagram. Follow the rules. It's all on there. Let's do it.
Cool. Yeah, I might actually enter it because I want that toy. As well. B2 Emo is such a great, I don't know how they do it, but every time a new droid shows up in Star Wars, I'm like, oh, here I go, I'm gonna fall in love with this droid now. And sure enough, he was really, really cute, and the design of him is really, really great. So yeah, just be sure to head over to Instagram and follow all the instructions for your chance to win your very own B2 Emo. Look at him, adorable. Now that's a droid I'd want just hang out with, you know what I mean, throughout the day.
Yeah,
because he actually speaks. You know what I mean? He doesn't go beep, doo, doo, doo. He actually talks.
I just feel like he is so like, hey, like of just the structure of B2 Emo. It's just like, okay, could it be a rolling refrigerator? Could it be a trash can? Could it be a microwave? Like, I just think of all the possibilities.
I think it's all the above, actually. I'm just kidding.
A Roomba.
A Roomba, exactly.
Awesome.
All right, now I think that's everything, James, because he's so ready to go, apparently.
Not quite yet. I do want to recognize our patrons. Shout outs to all these people that support our podcast and believe in us and give us great reviews on Apple Podcasts. So on the purple tier, Chris Simpson, long time, Kevin Leininger, Devin McCaffrey, Drew Peters, Zach Netzel on the red tier, Fenrir 526, Matt Heath, Maya Morris on the black tier, Maka Tautala, Nathan Shank, Evan O'Paker, and Liam McCallion. And also, too, I want to do a shout out for the people that join us on YouTube most of the time. Maka, of course, is here. Mob Rules. I think Mob Rules actually lives in the same city I do. I'm not sure. Ivader, The Legacy of Nerd, of course, late to the party, gave us that nice shout a couple podcasts ago. And yeah, they let us know they got the power turned back on for someone they know. And Pizza Kid, of course. And I think that's everyone here on YouTube. So yeah, thanks for joining us, guys. It's always fun to have you on, have people participate, be in the conversation with us. And of course, you can always find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, all the places, every popular app out there. We're pretty much on it. So like, subscribe.
Smash. If you want to email button, us, send us an email there. Starwars.podcast@gmail.com As well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. If you want to email us, tell us whatever's on your mind. Go for it. Also, Apple Podcasts. You can write a review, give us 5 stars, hopefully. And yeah, we just love to talk about Star Wars. And that's what we try and do.
We do.
Unless there's some type of event that happens in life that we can't podcast, such as a hurricane.
Like a hurricane, the death of Max Rebo, the, you know.
Well, on that wonderful note, I'm sure.
Shame on you, sir. Shame on you.
Well, thank you very much for listening, and we hope to be back next week with another awesome topic. And
actually, so cool.
Look forward to episode 5 of Andor coming up very soon. All right, awesome. Thank you very much for listening, and may the force be with you.